Okay. Seven blessings again. If you can kneel, we'll start with prayer. And yes, I'll be putting the notes in the room. I'll put the notes in the room now. In the there they are. So, thank you for reminding me too, sister. So, I need to get reminded every week, please. Thank you, everybody. Right, please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with a way to gather like this online, all around the world. Thank you for all your children that are coming together in every nation now, absolutely every nation. And that's just so amazing, Father. And our numbers are small, but when that latter rain falls, that's not going to matter. Just like you only used 12 apostles at the start. So thank you, Father, for letting us go forth and do this work. Please bless us with that latter rain if we are so worthy. And please continue to be with us as we gather here on Sabbath day to go into the Word and be blessed therein. And again, we uplift everybody on our prayer list that's in need of salvation or even a physical healing. And so thank you, Father, for always hearing our prayers and blessing us with answers so quickly, and even some answers are no. We thank you for that as well, because we ask amiss. We don't understand a lot of things sometimes. And so thank you for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Hey, let me get my notes here. The notes are, their notes are in the room there. And I'm actually doing something strange with this video I'm making now. The very first thing I'm doing is reading from Spirit of Prophecy. I've never done that before on a video. But it's time. I mean, it's obvious she's a prophet. So no getting around that one. And if people have a hard time with it, well, they had a hard time with all the prophets. I mean, look what they did with Daniel. You know, the Jews hated what he mentioned in regards to the week of Daniel, how he prophesied that they're going to kill the Messiah. So to this day, they say Daniel's a false prophet. Well, look at what's going on with all the writings of Ellen White. Every Christian bookstore on the planet refuses to have her books in there, because her books expose every other book they have in there. You know, like Pat Robertson and Timothy, what is it? I'm not going to mention all their names. We all know, like Joel Osteen and the guy that did the Lake Rape Planet, or Hal Lindsey and all them guys. All of them false prophets. All of them false doctrine. All of them. You know, and no getting around it. And so to prevent losing money, they don't put her books in there. And just as Rome rewrote the Bibles, I don't know how many times, my next few videos, I'm hoping, depending upon how quickly that book gets here, the Seventh-day Adventist Church under, the Jesuits in the SDA Church, as well as the leaders in the SDA Church that are in agreement with the Jesuits, have altered her writings for over 100 years. And it's not good, not good. And a lot of people don't even know this. Because I asked a person the other day online, and she goes, I didn't know they were altered. Mine are original. They're 30 years old. If your books are 30 years old, you're guaranteed they're rewritten. There's a lot of stuff missing in there. And so that's what we're going to be sharing. But anyway, right now, Antichrist. The Pope is Antichrist, part 4. The enemy of souls messed this up. We were supposed to originally preach this on March 23rd. But if you remember, the 2 days before that, our internet was gone. It was down. And it's still shaky over a month later. That's why we're getting new internet next week, praise his name. Prayer answered. Miracle, in fact. Instead of waiting 90 to 120 days to get the new internet, it's like 4 days, I think, 5 days. I think Thursday I talked to him, say, 4 or 5 days. So praise his name. Anyway, this one here, this particular section of the, and this is going to be when I'm done, posted on, because I have a page on the website all about this already, but I'm updating it, adding audio, obviously, to it. And so this section is about where Antichrist is going to be able to influence the entire world to worship him. And a lot of people don't even know what that means. It's in Revelation 13:8, the very first verse you see in box number 1 there in the notes. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, as I intimated, not many in this world seem to understand what the word worship actually means. And so here's hoping that I can help a few people see this more clearly. I actually did a video about this some years ago. The basic definition of worship is to be in agreement with that which you worship. No, this is not to say you worship your fellow man, unless, of course, your fellow man is speaking openly against what you know to be in the Bible. That being the case, are not all Christians in agreement that the Lord Jesus is perfect in his truth as it is written in his word? Strong's Concordance defines the word worship in this way. Check it out. It's number 4345 in the Strong's. It comes from the word, I guess, I don't even know where I got this, so it could be either the Greek, the Hebrew or the Greek. It looks like Greek. It says proskuneo. Yeah, proskuneo. And it means to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. A kiss to the hand. Like, here's some of the definitions put out. It's to kiss the hand towards one, or two towards one in a token of reverence. Let me stop there for a minute. I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, definition number two is to fall upon the knees and touch the ground and with the forehead as an expression of profound reverence. And number three, the final one, is to kneel or lay prostrate. To do homage to a human, to one, or to make obeisance. I don't know if I put this in box number 7. Did I put this all in box 7? Well, that's not good. So anyway, worship can be done by simple agreement. However, it can also be done by an open act of rebellion against God, as many do today when they believe their pastors over and above what the Word of God says. Okay, and I guess the basic definition, well, for example, in Daniel 3, we see that, like, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow their knee to the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar set up before the people. They knew to do so, to kneel, would go directly against the law of their God. The entire nation bowed, of course. But those three students of Daniel bluntly refused. If that were to happen today, and thanks to the 30,000-plus guillotines on U.S. soil right now, and I got the link to confirm that in box number 7 there. That's the very first link right there. All right. If you want the notes, just let me know. I'll send you the notes. But we have 30,000 guillotines on U.S. soil right now as we speak, and many are going to be looked upon as fanatics as the world laughs at how they would even die for their faith, or be shocked to some extent. In fact, that type of mindset is already among billions of people today. I did a video on March 12th titled Media Using Fake Christians to Weaken Their Resistance. I think it was this year, March 12th. And this video touches on how the wicked of the world will make denying our God appear to be okay for Christians when it comes to choice between living or dying. That video was about a young woman who I kind of have a feeling she doesn't even exist. I mean, the way they swiped out her face where you couldn't see it, and they call her prisoner number 40 or something, or 34. I can't remember what it was. But the video was about a young woman who was asked in North Korea if she was a Christian. In the article, and this is to assume she actually even exists, because in today's fake news, it's kind of hard to figure. But she said that in the article that if she said yes, that she believes in Jesus, she knew that they would kill her. And so she said that she loved Jesus after she got away from it all. She says to the people that she loved Jesus but denied him anyway just to stay alive. And so she obeyed or worshiped her captors over and above her God. Because worship also means to obey, right? Still, and the thing here with the kissing, maybe I should put this in later. The Pope has people kiss his ring, but it used to be that the people had to literally bow down and kiss his boots. That's why you see that statue of, they call it the statue of St. Peter, but it's actually Jupiter, pagan god Jupiter. And he's raised up on a pedestal where he's sitting on a chair with his foot sticking out, and he's made out of bronze. And so many Catholics have kissed those toes that the toes have worn away. That's bronze. They're soft lips. I mean, come on, human lips aren't made out of concrete and sandpaper. They're human lips. So many billions of people kissed those toes as an act of worship that the toes are worn down. I actually got a picture of that on the website. But still, when it comes to this girl who denied Jesus Christ because she didn't want to die, and pray for her because she can still repent. She's not guaranteed hell. But when the guillotines roll out, yeah, then it's too late. You're guaranteed hell at that point because that's the mark of the beast being enforced. Still, many will say she didn't really worship her captives and only did as she did out of fear, as did the nation in Nebuchadnezzar's day, which is true because you don't think not. These guys weren't really bowing before that statue because they worshipped it. They didn't want to go in that furnace of fire. So they didn't really worship. They just did what the king said. And so the question is always that, do you honestly believe all those people worshipped that idol? Or that girl was worshipping that the guy with the gun in front of her or whatever? I mean, the truth is this. The king stated plainly in Daniel 3:6 that whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So common sense affords us the reality that it was fear that caused them to bow. Yet what most still miss even to this day is that Daniel's three students still refused. Could it be just the simple act of worship, even if you don't really mean it, is a sin? Well, it seems pretty obvious here now, doesn't it? Because of what happened next. For this is confirmed. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into that furnace of fire, they didn't die. I mean, it was so hot, in fact, that the men that threw them in were engulfed in flames and killed by the fire just for throwing them in. However, Jesus Christ himself appeared in the flames to prevent harm to those three young men. This confirmed the Lord was pleased with their refusal to merely bow, as some think is no big deal, to save their skin. Because they're obeying means to worship as well. Even if you say in the back of your mind, oh, I don't really, I don't worship the statue at all. I just don't want to go in that furnace. But that means you're obeying the king so you don't die. And you're disobeying the creator so you will die. See, there's a big difference between mortal death and eternal death. Big difference. So Jesus rewarded the refusal, to break the commandment number two with an open sign that no thinking person could ever deny. I mean, it was so graphic, in fact, that King Nebuchadnezzar himself was moved to believe that very day when he saw those three young men walking in the flame without any ill effects, while at the same time looking upon his own muscle-bound guards lying dead and smoldering at the entrance of that furnace. He knew something amazing happened that day. He realized that merely bowing before that statue he set up was sin, as the God of creation purposely made himself visible inside the fire that day. He didn't make that statue. He just made himself visible. I mean, Daniel records the king's reaction rather well, and I'm going to read this. It's right there, Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 to 30. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. And today, that would be astonished, right? And he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the kings and counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire that was passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. So there you have it. Just that act of bowing was an act of worship. And finishing it says, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So did you notice, though? Even the king agreed that bowing before his golden statue was an act of worship. He said with his own mouth that God sent his angel to protect those three men that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. So how does Roman Catholicism fulfill this prophecy? And are Catholics taught to worship the Pope? In fact, all Protestants are now taught to worship their pastors? In John chapter 17 we read, verse 11. This is a prayer that Jesus was praying, right? And now I am no more in the world, because he's about to get arrested and crucified. But these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Just so you know, Jesus is in the garden praying just before Judas arrives with the mob to take him away to be crucified. In this prayer, which, by the way, isn't the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name thing. That's an outline for prayer, and that outline's used here by Jesus, in fact. So, Jesus actually calls his Father in heaven, Holy Father. In fact, that's the only place you find this in Scripture. Genesis to Revelation, that's the only time you see Holy Father, and it's Jesus talking about his Father in heaven. Every precious Catholic soul on earth, and every priest, every cardinal, every bishop, and every nun is taught to call the Pope Holy Father. Even the media calls him this blasphemous name. Every newspaper, magazine, TV news anchorman, and radio announcer use that title for the Pope. Plus every dignitary, president, or head of state must kiss the hand of the Pope, either in private, like most American presidents do, and some, like Obama, literally called him Holy Father on camera. It's in box number 7, you know, my notes. So to make a statement to those they hope to politically influence is why they do these things. And with Obama, he did so to garner more Muslims into the camp of Rome, because everybody knew that Obama was a Muslim. And so there, it's right there. The links for all these videos and these clips and stuff like that are mentioning, they're in box 7. So let me scroll back up to where we left off here. All right. So, and we've all seen the pictures, by the way, of the people kissing the Pope's ring. And I did a video with these pics back in 2007, and Pastor Craig updated the same video for me, and it's in box number 7 as well. He did it in 2013. So, as prophesied, from the common man to the mainstream political entities, they all must kiss this man's hand, the man of sin, the Pope. And according to the Word of God, this is an open act of worship to the Pope in reviewing, or rather in receiving, who we know to be in a complete agreement when they kiss his hand. And that's why every U.S. president has to meet with the Pope with every term he's elected. Like if it's a two-term president, he's got to meet with the Pope at least twice. And many of them, like Obama, met with him more than once. But often we find with those the Pope is upset with, raise their hand to him, or whatever, they won't, or rather they won't kiss his ring. Or let's say that, that's where the wars are right now. Anywhere, anytime you see a war on earth, since Vietnam, as a matter of fact, since World War I, II, all of them. Ever since the Vatican had their power in 1929 restored, every war thereafterwards was the Vatican using its power to force leaders to bow before him so that he could be what, the one world government, the new world order thing, and the leader of the world, as the prophecy said. But sometimes you can even see this where the Pope won't even raise his hand for the person to kiss it. Sometimes he puts his hand up so they can bow a little bit, and sometimes he leaves it by his side so they got to really bow to kiss it. If he could, he'd make them kiss their foot, his foot. I mean, they literally have to bow to kiss him when it's dangling at his side. And it used to be not so many days past that it was that, you know, the Pope's foot that they used to kiss. But yeah, but if I think I got a picture of, as a matter of fact, of the statue. There it is, right there. Let me see if I can zoom in on it for you there. I don't think I can do this in here. Nope, it's not zooming. But there's the statue that's called, they call it Peter, but it's actually Jupiter. That's why he's got that, you know, that halo from Bale. And then when you, the next picture right there is, all the features of his toes are gone. There's just slices now, like little slits. All right? And then there's, well, I'll get into that in a minute here. But yeah, that's obviously what's going on there. You know, it's amazing to me that the Vatican would allow such pictures to be made public. It just shows how boastful they are, that they act like they got this kind of power. But one of the pictures is a recent picture of Pope John Paul II, yeah, accepting worship from what appears to be at least 80 priests right here. Okay, that's they're all laying down prostrate with their foreheads to the ground, their hands forward. You know, that's and the next one to the right of that, this one here, that's Pope Paul. Back when I was a little kid, that's Pope Paul the sixth. I'm pretty sure, unless that's what he looked like. I'm pretty sure that's Pope Paul the sixth, because I remember what he looked like as I was growing up, because he was the Pope that we all knew when we were kids. But this prophecy is most assuredly fulfilled by the popes of Rome, making people worship him. And I'm not even going to get into that video I did about the mortal wound being healed and how all the world is wondering after the beast right now. I'll get to that later, of course, in this series. But for as we know, there no one on earth do we see such a man as this, you know, the Pope, that is not only accepted, but is openly worshipped before the eyes of every soul on earth, and sadly, before the Creator God of the universe. And so that's why the prophecy was worded the way it was, where he'll speak great words against the Most High. I mean, I got a page on the website titled, let me see if I can go to it really quick. I'll just put you on my monitor here. Let's see if you go to Remnant of God. Okay, this might be a little slow. You just go here, RCC Exposed. Right there, go to Words of the Beast. And this first section here, these are all, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff the popes have put in writing. You would not believe it. But if you click this first one, this right here is how many times they call themselves God on earth. I'm not kidding you. All that stuff there is the Pope calling himself a God on earth. And then them calling him the Lord God Pope. And all, it's just, and I got a few videos about it too. So, but let me knock the monitor off here and go back to the notes. And go back to my notes. All right, so this next section is the Antichrist must be able to understand dark sentences of hell. Oh, I don't know if you hear this noise. Can you hear that noise? It sounded like a bunch of static. No, anybody hear it? Nope. In the stream? Oh, okay, good. I think my speakers are going. They've been making these weird noises for years. It sounds like static. Out of the blue. But anyway, Daniel 8:23. It says, in the latter time, that's our time, of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to a full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. For anyone who has read my book, People Get Ready, you know we are in the latter time right now. And when we look around, we see that the transgressors are come to a full. We see everything from lusts of the flesh to mass murders. And it's all becoming the norm. And because it's so frequent, most people are no longer shocked about it at all. I remember when I was a kid, the first time kids started disappearing, you know, with the pedophile thing where they were and the Satanist thing where they were taking the kids and doing what they wanted with them and then killing them. That's what actually started John Walsh with the cops. He goes out and, you know, bad boys, that thing there. John Walsh started that because they took his kid and all they found was his son's head. That was a satanic cult. And so from that day forward, he started going after all these evil people. But it got so bad that they stopped reporting it in the news. It was so frequent. It's just like with the mass murders. It's in passing now. It's just the norm. The mindset, you know, that the people have today shows how Satan has run amok, knowing he is so close to the end that he can no longer have the option to keep his agenda hidden. He just can't do it. He just doesn't have the time or option to do that. He just steps right out there, flexing his demonic muscles all over the place. But nothing is so evil than those that would claim to be godly, so as to lure souls into their sinfulness, guaranteeing Satan even more precious souls in his trophy case. And all the pastors are doing that. There's many false prophets out there. All of them are under the 501c3. They're all creating an image onto the beast in Rome. So they are in bed with him. This includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There's no way to get around it. It's prophesied they happened. I mean, in order to get the 501c3, you have to join your church with the state. It's called incorporation. That's the only way to get the 501c3. Well, what's the Vatican? It's called Vatican City and Roman Catholic Church. It's a church and state. It's been said time and time again that the Vatican has always been the only place on earth that hell can be glorified or put in a light that is somehow acceptable to man. You know, mixing paganism with Christianity proves this rather easily. Where else on earth can you see open satanic rituals being performed while at the same time calling it Christianity? That is Catholicism. The Vatican has single-handedly been able to make the Christians the world over accept graphic neo-pagan ritual as 100% acceptable onto a God that Scripture says is angered by this stuff. When men do these things, it really upsets him. But this is not the main issue by which this prophecy is fulfilled. These dark sentences that Daniel speaks of is something only found in two places on earth, the Roman Catholic Vatican and the Church of Satan. These two entities agree on many things, from clothing to rituals, as I prove in the video that it's in box number 7, by the way. It's a video I made back in April of 2019. It's called, Is Catholicism Practicing Satanic Ritual? That video would have been far more than 4.5 minutes long, but I had to keep stopping. Usually I get a video done in an afternoon, right? This thing took me 6 months because I had to keep stopping as I was researching the pics that I put in there, because to find these pics about these satanic rituals and these satanic clothings and items, that with Catholicism was easy. I was raised there, so I could easily find all that stuff in the Catholic Church. But I had to also find it in the Church of Satan. So as to show to people, look at the, it's the exact same stuff. I kept stopping because it was just grossing me out. I just couldn't stand looking at it, but I had to make it. Both the Satanic and the Catholic Churches have priests that operate under a pagan hierarchy. Both have these priests wearing black robes that depict evil in prophetic symbolism. You know, in other words, what I'm getting here is I'm describing what Daniel called dark sentences. Satanism, in other words. Both the Catholic and the Satanic Church use incantations, and they chant them. You know, the Gregorian chant? That's considered completely acceptable. Oh, it's so beautiful to listen to. You ever hear some of them, they actually pray to Lucifer, even though that's not his name anymore. He fell. He can't be called the Angel of Light anymore. He fell. Both the Vatican and the Satanic Church use crucifixes with a dead Jesus on them. An empty cross is bad enough, seeing how it is a symbol of death, but the Vatican, like Satan's church, uses a cross with a dead Jesus on it. Both the Vatican and the Satanic Church invert or turn the cross upside down. As a matter of fact, I got a picture, I think, in box number 7. Right there. See, everybody knows about the Satanic, you know, people doing it, but the Pope's been doing that for years. So they claim it's because St. Peter's cross. That's their way of getting around it. You know, because St. Peter was hung upside down on a cross, that's their way of making it acceptable. They figure out a way to turn the word around. And going on, we see, I didn't put any of these pictures in the video, and I did put some, but you know, just some like some things you could buy, an inverted cross and stuff like that. But if you look at some rock bands like Slayer or Metallica or Black Sabbath or even Marilyn Manson, it's disgusting how they do. It all looks like Catholicism. So, in the first picture, the Pope. Let me see if I can get up to the first picture. Yeah, right there. See where he's that little drawing right there. That's the Pope who sits on the altar in Chorazim, Israel. The backdrop actually depicts, wait, let me see if it's up here. No. Maybe I'm thinking of something else, but you know, anyway. The backdrop actually depicts Christ drenched with pagan symbolism, as well as an open book with a Latin title that reads, "Love Your Enemies, I Will Come Soon." I think, where did I get that? Maybe it's in one of these links. I don't know. Anyway, the truth is, the biblical choice as children of God should be to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," right? To preach, "Love your enemies," alone with the prophetic statement, "I will come again soon," is to preach we must concentrate on our relationships with each other over and above our relationship with the Lord so as to be ready. And as we all know, this is the main agenda of Rome at this time. You know, ecumenicalism, they need to generate a global group hug so as to fill the one world church that the Pope became the official leader of behind closed doors, of course, back on June 26th of 2000. Yes, they use June 26th a lot. The United Nations was started on June 26th, 1948, or 47. I think it was in 48. And then the homosexual marriage was legalized by Obama on June 26th, but I think it was 2014, maybe. I can't remember the exact year. They always use, it's a pagan thing. There's reasons behind the dates. And then on February 4th, just a couple of months ago, 2019, that One World Church went global. So now it's not just the Protestants and the Popes agreeing, or the Vatican agreeing that the Pope is the head of the One World Church. Now the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Zoroastrians, the Jews also agree. And so that's that video I did called Prophecy Fulfilled, One World Church. And so that's in box 7 as well. Let's see, there it is right there. It's almost the last one there. So as you can see, the inverted cross of the Satanic Church is very apparent on the throne of the beast power itself in these pictures. But why an inverted cross in the Holy Land, you may ask? And see, let me see if I had it here anyway. That's the picture that this is. That saying right there is "Love your enemies. I'm coming soon." That's where I should have brought that up. That's the picture I was talking about. So I was looking for it. And there it is. He's in Israel doing that. This picture is him. He's in Israel doing this. And then he's somewhere else doing this one. You know, I can't remember because it's a different background. You can see it's different color or everything. So, but as you can see, why is he using it in the Holy Land? Well, it's a satanic show of force under the kingdom of heaven that will eventually place New Jerusalem upon it to rule the universe for all eternity. You know, at the end of the 1,000 years, even though they're all preaching it happens at the beginning of the 1,000 years. Yeah. The reason they're saying that, because that lie worked 2,000 years ago to get the Pharisees to believe that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. So they're doing it again so that the people will believe that Satan is the Messiah. So is not the beast himself proclaiming his so-called victory with such an open and blunt sign as an inverted cross in the land that Jesus himself walked 2,000 years ago? Seriously. And that seems pretty obvious to me. This is actually typical of the devil, for I'm sure that this same satanic boldness was cultivated the very day Rome placed the sign, "Jesus, King of the Jews," above the head of our Savior on the cross to mock him. I mean, as we all know, that too was a so-called victory for Satan with the help of Rome, you know, church and state. The Jews and the Romans got together. The Jews, the church, the Romans, the state. And so, as we all know, Satan was rudely awakened 3 days later when our Lord and Savior was miraculously awakened from that tomb so as to declare unto all that Jesus not only defeated Satan, he defeated his main power, which is, of course, death. I mean, after all, is it not written in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 57? And I think I got that up here somewhere. Where is it? It's got to be up there somewhere. Oh, I guess I didn't. I thought I did. Here it is. It's right there on the top of the screen. All right. So where am I at here? Here it is. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I wish the people, like the Sunday keepers especially, and the Baptists who say, they're all saying you don't have to keep the law anymore. Well, if that's the case, explain the strength of sin is the law. In other words, the law is so rock hard. It's not only written in stone. Jesus Christ himself had to die because you can't change the law any more than the king of the day. I think it was Cestus, that, you know, remember when Daniel got thrown in the lion's den? He couldn't change the law. Daniel had to get thrown in. Can't change the law. You can't change the law of God. You can't change the law of man. Right? Although they are changing it on a regular basis down here now. But the strength of the law, the strength of sin is the law. In other words, you sin, that's it. You're guaranteed death. That's why everybody needs a Savior. So if it was so easy to change the law, Jesus would not have to have gone on that cross. But that is totally forgotten. The overwhelming majority of the churches out there have forgotten that. And that was prophesied to happen that way. And it is also declared in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. Let's see. I think I'm going to end this a little early because I forgot to mark the end. So, yeah, I'll end it with this section here. I'm not going to go into the next section where it says that Antichrist will declare that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. Because the Catholic Church literally says that in writing. And then they'll say, oh, no, we didn't. Oh, yes, you did. Look up your original sin doctrine. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 to 15 says this. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. And behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Yeah. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. You know, Jesus was, you know, born of a woman, right? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And yes, all of us were in bondage unto fear all our lives until we met Jesus Christ. At the very moment we met him, we no longer feared death. Because now we know it's just a nap. You're just going to take a nap till he gets here. And so, now do you see why Jesus said what he said in Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8? He said that he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, and I like the fact that he actually mentioned liars because a lot of people think that's no big deal. That's the native tongue of Satan. That's what started all this. This whole problem that we're seeing ourselves for the last 6,000 years was the lie he started with the angels to get a third of the angels to fall, and the lie he did with Adam and Eve. It's all based on lies. And some people think, oh, lies not as big. It's not like murder. It's actually worse if you ask me. So all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That happens at the end of the 1,000 years, right? So the reason he said fearful along with all the other sinfulness is because if you fear death, you never really accepted Jesus Christ as Lord yet. Therefore, Satan still has power over you because that fear is in your heart from Satan. God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, he says. So that fear is in your heart from Satan, and that is how he is able to move billions into his camp. And need I remind you of the Inquisition, where many people feared to be burned at the stake, and so they deny Jesus Christ like that little girl did in Korea? You know what this means, right? That means 100% of every Roman Catholic alive today had a great, 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 whatever, grandparent that denied Jesus Christ as Lord because they feared that fire. None of them were a Shadrach, Meshach. Well, yeah, many of them were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like 500 million of them, but according to the Fox's Book of Martyrs. But all the Catholics today are descended from people that did not, you know, die for Christ. But as some of us that escaped from Roman Catholicism that found Jesus as Lord, who used to be Catholic like myself, everyone today has the chance to escape that lie of Satan. Just like back then. The devil is setting himself and all who follow him up for a deadly fall because he knows he's got no choice. He has to die. So he wants to see, misery loves company, right? Everybody knows that. For as surely as Jesus arose from the tomb to prove Satan's so-called victory as nothing more than a bold-faced lie, Matthew 24:30 tells us that soon Jesus shall appear, that soon Jesus shall appear the sign of Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But how bad is it in the Vatican? Because the prophecy stated that they understand dark sentences, right? So they got these symbols from, because paganism is actually Satanism in a gentle format, if you will. It just does not right talk about Satan. It talks about, you know, Baal or what is some of the other, Dagon or Molech or Chemosh. You know, he has all these different names to water it down. It's just like abortion is used to, you know, water down the fact that they just killed a baby, you know. So we got enough evidence here. We can end it here if we wanted to prove that the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican actually, not the people. The people are just loyal, but, you know, disobedient to the Lord at the same time. They don't get it. But think about this. They not only do we have just the symbols that they use as being satanic, they were caught holding satanic services in the Vatican. Check this out. This is from February 28, 1999. And this priest waited, I can't remember how long it was. I did, when I shared this on the radio back then, I had the dates and all that. I don't have it now. But the headline was, Satanism is practiced in the Vatican. I'm just going to read this short little blurb here. It says, in recent weeks, a firestorm has been raging in Italy. The controversy revolves around the statements Archbishop Emmanuel Malingo, who made formal allegations that satanic activity is taking place inside the Vatican. When questioned by the Italian press about the allegations, he said that he stood by them. The Archbishop chose the Fatima 2000 International Congress on World Peace held in Rome in November of 1996, hosted by the Fatima Crusader magazine, as a platform to make these allegations public. So that's why he waited. He wanted it to say it to a lot of people and leaders, all of them in the church, because he, like Martin Luther, when he started out with his 95 Theses, thought, hey, this will reform the church. He didn't realize these guys were dyed-in-the-wool Satanists and it wasn't going to reform the church. They were going to go after him, and they did. You know, this guy even married his wife, but it all got bad. And well, anyway, let me go off from here. Let's see, do I have... Oh, here, yeah, check this out. Okay, there's the article I just read there. Sorry, I'm losing my voice already. But this next one here is titled News of Animal Sacrifice in the Catholic Mass. And I'm going to read this one, too, real quick. It says, Human Life International reported yesterday that some Africans are calling for ancestor worship and animal sacrifices to be included in the liturgy of the Mass. This reminds me, too, of some photos I have of Mother Teresa taking part in a Hindu Mass where she's on her knees at the Mass and there's Buddha on the altar. She was not a, she even stated in the end she didn't believe in God anymore, but they made her stay on as Mother Teresa because she was bringing $100 million a year into the Vatican. And I got a page on the website called remedygod.org/MAT, like Matt, but M-A, capital T, dot H-T-M. Check it out. So anyway, going on, it says, according to the bishop, you can say his name, I can't, plans to include African pagan rites during the Mass is in a response to the Vatican's invocation to enculturate Catholic rites. In other words, don't tell them it's not right to do it. We'll just work together on this one, right? You know, that ecumenical thing? Going on, it says, hearing that both priests and lay people were making such plans, an outraged Father Richard Welch, president of Human Life International, steamed in the letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul discussed the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross with the following words, for it is impossible that with the blood of oxen and goats sin should be taken away. Sacrifice and oblation thou would not. Behold, I come. He takes away, behold, I come. I don't know why the spaces are missing here between the period and everything. Is it on the, I don't know if it's on the stream too like that, but he takes away the first and that he may establish that which follows. We are sanctified by the oblation of the body of Jesus Christ once. You know, and so I used to go to daily Mass before I left the Catholic Church, my wife and I. Every morning they sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the Catholic Church, every single morning, millions of times all around the world because they got a lot of churches. They do this every morning. And the Bible says no. He gave himself up. He said, it is finished. And he offered himself up once. So this Father Richard Welch was obviously another Martin Luther kind of guy, you know, to some extent. And so anyway, finishing. Well, you might also want to check out my page. Let me just let me go to that page on here really quick, and thank you for bearing with me, and put it on the monitor. Let me scroll up to the top here, and you got to go to RCC Exposed, go down to Horrific, and then scroll down to, oh, there's that Mother Teresa denied God thing, and then Satanism in the Vatican. I did a few videos on this. You just click that. Internet's a little slow, so give it a time. Man, is it slow. Okay, there. Yeah, look at that, how slow it is. We're supposed to have 10 meg up and down. That one picture still didn't come in yet. But, okay, that picture right there is the audience hall right next to the Vatican that the popes in recent years have built. Inside, it has the eyes of a serpent, the scales of the head of the serpent, the fangs of the serpent, and right there, and then, of course, you got the hallway that's his tongue. But right there in the center is where the pope sits when he speaks to the people, via the mouth of Satan, is what he's actually doing, right? And then here's the outside of the building. It looks like a serpent's head, right? They did it purposely because they're devil worshippers. Just like Daniel said, he's going to be an understander of dark sentences. And then here's these videos. But here's a reason I wanted to. I did a video about this as well years ago, about the upside down cross of Rome, and they always say it's about St. Peter. Well, if that's the case, look at the keyhole, because this is the keys of hell. Because the Vatican always says we got the keys of heaven and hell. No, you don't. But they claim it's such, and then they put this, the way they built the Vatican with the 200-foot wall around it, when they say you shouldn't have walls, but it's wrapped in walls because the Muslims were going to attack them, I think it was in the 1500s. That's the proper orientation of a keyhole, because I put the keyhole right there to make it obvious, right? Look at the way the Vatican is shaped over here, though. It's an upside-down cross. Okay? So the people walk in this way thinking that's the right side up, but no. They purposely put the keyhole in that position to show we're making it upside down. We just lost a stream. Hold on. Let me clear it. It literally said live stream offline. Let me see if I can get back in. We had over 80 families in there. Looks like they're still there, but it's not. See, this happens every week. It's like they're making it difficult for us to keep our stream going. Yeah, I'm getting buffering too. Okay, here it goes on my side. It still says it's buffering, but at least the page came up. All right. And so, but anyway, yeah, when you get a chance, check out this page. I have some of the pictures right here that I use in the video that I made about, you know, the satanic, you know, like the chalice and the chalice, you know, the chalice of the Satanist, the chalice of the Catholic, the chants and all this other stuff. I got it all here. It's just disgusting, and I don't even want to look at it again because, you know, it's annoying. So let me put the notes back up, and let me knock that down. So, getting back. We see the doctrines of demons and the traditions of men running rampant in the dogma of Catholicism. And I don't think I need to report on every aspect of evil in this church that has historically allowed the gates of hell to prevail against it, as open evidence that Jesus Christ could not have possibly started this church. As a matter of fact, they didn't start officially until 538 AD anyway. You know, when Constantine, when they did their church and state thing and ripped those three horns like Daniel prophesied they would. Those three nations fell, and immediately after that, you know, the Vandals, the Hurlies, and the Ostrogoths. We'll get into that later, as a matter of fact. But, and need I mention the fact that, and I've covered just as much as I can because I've been doing this for ever since I left the Catholic Church, right? I still got a filing cabinet in the basement that I have never really put forth on the website, all of it, because some of it I haven't been able to verify yet. But now with the internet, I can a little easier because back then I just went to the library. Oak Lawn Library was like the Chicago Library. It was huge. And so I had the microfiche was really good. The microfilm, people call it microfiche, because you're going to fish around looking for stuff. But I have over 14,000 pages on the site right now exposing all this. And if I had only a few pages on my site, I could understand some of the hate mail that I receive on a regular basis that says all my facts are bogus. But the site has over 14,000 pages, and it's all documented. I won't put it up there until I can prove it. And that's as of March 23rd, you know. In my notes, I made a fact that mentioned that it was March. Oh, and by the way, and I'll close with this. Make special note in the previous article that Archbishop Malengo chose Fatima 2000, you know, International Congress to make known that was happening inside the walls of the Vatican in regards to them understanding dark sentences and being Satanists. He knew that a global audience would be the end result if he waited until the time that time to uncover what he witnessed, honestly. I mean, I am surprised this man wasn't murdered for exposing the Vatican so boldly that day. But then, had he died after that, it would have solidified the truth in many more souls than had the Vatican allowed him to live so as to claim him a liar. I mean, case in point, remember, Alberto Rivera. He didn't have a global audience before a bunch of priests and televisions. He went out there and exposing it, you know, one preacher at a time, mostly in the SDAs. And they murdered him for that, though, because it was spreading quickly. He used to be a Jesuit. He left, and they started exposing the Jesuit order. And so they killed him for that. But it just neither here nor there. But the fact is they kept him, they kept Archbishop Emmanuel Malengo alive so as they could use that the stuff against him, which in fact is what they did. I mean, they just called him a liar and then worked on it from there. But praise the Lord, we now have the pictures and the videos to prove that the popes are in fact card-carrying devil worshippers. And so as is prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and I think that's the last verse I'm going to share here. Yeah, right there. Is that none of us should ever let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there coming a falling away. Yeah, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And as I stated earlier, the state of society confirms there has been a great falling away from the truth in our society. And many alive today know who the man of sin is. And as prophesied, he has been revealed. And I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this day. And this is not the end of it either. I've got a lot more Pope is Antichrist videos to make or sermons to share in the coming weeks. But next week is communion service for anybody that needs to, you know, take communion. So next week we're going to be doing communion online for those of you that would like to partake. If you have been baptized and you have done the proper fence mending, if you will, before you step up to the altar, you know, make sure you take care of any, you know, misunderstandings you had with your brothers or sisters in Jesus. And so let me drop the mic and then we shall hear some music and we'll pray out the service.
The very trials that seem to you so severe. Jesus is true, Jesus understands, Jesus is your Savior. Of tears and death.
eternal weight of glory, honor and praise. Take hold of Jesus and never let go. Don't look on the dark side, be hopeful in God, be faithful. Jesus is true, Jesus understands, Jesus is our Savior. Only a little while of trouble, a little while of fear, and then an eternal weight of glory, honor and praise. If we have to wear a crown, we must expect to bear the cross. Jesus knows best. Only a little while of waiting, only a little while is coming, and then an eternal weight of glory, honor and praise.
Amen. If you can kneel, we'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence as we gathered here. Thank you for giving us the tools by which we need to understand what needs to be shared, and that tool is your scripture. The two-edged sword, Old Testament, New Testament. The two witnesses, Old Testament, New Testament. We thank you for giving us that which we need to go forth and proclaim this truth far and wide. Give us the courage, the faith, the wisdom, the discernment, the peace, the gentleness, the love, and the meekness, so as to not cause those that we're trying to reach to step off the path rather than getting on. And thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And we want, because we pray for that often, because your prophet said to pray for it. And thank you also, Father, for blessing everybody on our prayer list with answered prayers, be it physical or spiritual prayers, and keeping us all safe with that hedge of angels as you always promised to have for us all throughout the week. So next week we can gather again for communion and be blessed therein. And thank you, as always, of accepting our prayers and the prayer requests, and even the prayer requests of the children that were put in the children's study, and the prayer requests of the adults when the study hour started and all that. Thank you. Thank you for blessing us with all the answers that we need. And we offer this prayer again in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen and amen.